B61. Number 7A.
Well, we have considered this morning the method of reversal, and I have just come as far as to see that we must be careful when we read a few passages in the textbook or in the prose work about the method of reversal. We have seen that if we go out from error, from a material belief, from a discord, if we go out from, therefore, a phenomena of discord, that if we go out from there, that we cannot arrive at the truth. Because every statement of error is an error, and error never can reveal truth. So, how then do we have to interpret these statements? And we have seen that Mrs. Eddy always says that science reverses. Therefore, not that we reverse, that we have the insight into knowing what is the counterfeit, what is really the problem. We only have the five physical senses testifying to a problem, but we don't know what is really the belief behind the problem, and actually the cause of the problem and not the effect of it, namely the problem itself, should be handled. We should therefore be able first to go back to the cause of a problem and see what that is. So if we go out just from the problem, from matter and reason to idea, we will always use just an old metaphysical trick, that the same trick as psychosomatic medicine used with the organ language. And therefore we have to see now what is the solution to this whole problem. So, in the prose work, in Unity of Good, Mrs. Eddy gives an explanation of how such a reversal should take place. It's in Unity of Good, page 20, where she asks, and I will read that whole paragraph, how is a mistake to be rectified? That's the problem, how do we rectify a mistake? And she says, by reversal or revision. So here she picks up the problem of reversal. But what does it mean? So she says, by reversal or revision, by seeing it in its proper light. So can you see first that we have to see it first in its proper light, and then turning it, only when we have seen it in its proper light, we can turn it, and or turning from it. There are two possibilities. But still we don't know quite yet what she meant with this reversal. So she goes on and says, we undo the statements of error by reversing them. Again, we have a reversal. We still don't know actually how to reverse it. She says, through these three statements or misstatements, evil comes into authority. Now, interesting enough, in order to define to us the method of reversal, she introduces first how evil came into being at all. That evil is a mistranslation, that evil itself is a false reversal of good, and therefore she goes right back first from where evil comes from. So it says, evil comes into authority by the following three statements. First, the Lord knows it. The Lord knows error. That's the first false concept. Second, the Lord... Sorry, did I say... I think I said something wrong. The first statement is, the Lord created it. That's the first false statement, the first false translation. It says, well, God created the error. God created disease. God created evil. Second, and the Lord knows it. Lord knows it. And third, I'm afraid of it. So she says, through these three statements, evil comes into existence. Can you see what she does? I go on afterwards. But you see what she does? She just first shows that we should not ask what is the problem and define it and say this is a counterfeit of an idea, but that we should see from where does such a problem come. What is the cause of it? How did it happen at all? And she says it is actually through a false translation. Therefore, we must first see that. So she goes on, now she says what the reversal is. She says, by a reverse process of argument, evil must be dethroned. And you see, now what she is showing here is that the reversal is to reverse that wrong translation. Not to reverse the effect, but to reverse, really, the process through which evil came into so-called existence. And so she said, by a reverse process of argument, evil must be dethroned, namely, first, God never made it. So you correct and reverse that sense that God created it. Second, he knows it not. So this reverses really that false translation which said the Lord knows it. And third, we therefore need not fear it. So this reverses the third point in the wrong translation where it was said, I'm afraid of it. Now, you don't have that in front of you, so it may have been a bit more difficult to follow, I don't know. But you can see very easily that Mrs. Eddy here in prose work, she explains more in detail what it means that science reverses the false testimony of the physical senses. That reversal is not to take the phenomena of evil and say this is the reverse of an idea and to reason from that wrong phenomena to the idea, say from lack to abundance, or from and see therefore that we first must correct or reverse the process through which a problem came into existence. Now this is a good illustration of what Mrs. Eddy means by science reverses. It is interesting to see that we speak very often about the two translations, the translation of immortal mind and the translation of mortal mind. Whereas we also should remember that there is also a third kind of translation, namely the mistranslation, where we translate really spirit into matter, where we translate really the infinite harmony into discord of our everyday life. That discord only comes into existence because we do not translate rightly. And therefore, through that mistranslation, which goes on in the mortal mind field and realm, through that wrong translation, we must translate error back to mind. So if we translate matter back to mind, or if we translate error back to truth, it is a translating back, which means first there must have been another translation going on, or we cannot translate it back. And actually, as we know, every discord with which we have to deal is a false translation from God to mortals. This false translation Mrs. Eddy has shown here in this article on rectification that says, well, the wrong translation is that the Lord created it, that we think God made it, and that therefore God is in agreement with it, that God knows it, and therefore then we are afraid of it. So can we see that therefore we must also take in consideration a so-called a third kind of translation, namely the mistranslation from God to mortals. And that process has to be reversed. See, not the outcome of it, the fear, has to be reversed. She says the process has to be reversed, the process in which it has come to our awareness. And that's another interesting point. If you look up all the references in Science and Health, for instance, and in prose work about reversal and reverse, that most of the statements that we find there are always showing that we must reverse a process, not just an effect. That it says that we must reverse this action, that we must reverse the process, reverse the belief. Can you see? It's constantly hinting to what she has explained in prose work as rectification, that there is a whole process, namely the wrong translation process, that has to be reversed. Now, interesting enough is also that when she says what the true reversal is, as I have said, that over about a tenth or the 12th time, a dozen time in her writings, she would say that science reverses, because science always is that which starts out from principle. And one of these statements is right after the two translations. After she has finished the two translations, which are so important for the practice, the translation of immortal mind, which as of effect has the translation back of mortal mind into the divine mind, that right after that she says, science so reverses. Can you see? That science so reverses the evidence before the corporeal human senses. That so is naturally a term that refers back to what? That refers back there to the two translations and says, those two translations show us how to do it. So science so reverses. Are you with me? Very clear. It would be a pity if we would miss the boat here. Yeah. So can you see we have always to read the statements in the textbook, so to say, always in relation to the whole text, that the interpretation must always be relational. We have seen over 100 times in the last few years, but I still say, because I still see that the students don't do it, they still love single sentences and build up their whole life on a single sentence, on a single verse, instead that we always see the whole of it. So she would indicate here that the two translations are therefore the method of reversal. Well, what does that imply? That's something very terrific, what it implies. Because the two translations do what? They actually go out from God. The first translation goes out from God. And so indicates really that we must see that the method of reversal is a method where we are not going out from the phenomena. I said that now for the 50th time, but I don't know if the 50th one time you go out from the phenomena just the same. So that we go not out in the method of reversal from the phenomena, but we go out from the first translation, and with that first translation we correct the mistranslation. Yeah? Is that clear? So, if we have seen that, so many things become much clearer in what we are studying. For instance, that passage which we had in miscellaneous writings on page 60, which I was quoting this morning already, but only in parts. I want to go back to that whole passage because it has always been a cornerstone of teaching, and we want to see it again in its whole context. We saw there that Mrs. Eddy says, evil in the beginning claimed the power, wisdom, and utility of good. So you can see again, it is that false translation which we had in that article, rectification, that evil says, God created it, God knows it, and I'm afraid of it. Evil claiming God's qualities, God's power, evil claiming to be God. And every creation or idea or spirit has its counterfeit in some matter belief. So every idea has a counterfeit. That we know too. And now she says, every material belief hints the existence of spiritual reality. Because every material belief is the counterfeit of an idea, it naturally hints at a reality. And we have seen that this part of the sentence, which is only after a semicolon, has been taken out of context and has been used as a statement that has value per se and has led to the wrong conclusion that we can just take any phenomena of evil and just reverse it and to just see what is the fact about it. But she says, after that, another semicolon, so she has not finished her presentation. She said, and if mortals are instructed in spiritual things. Now, can you see? Now she starts with the rectification, says, if mortals are actually instructed in spiritual things, that's the first thing we have to know. It will be seen that material belief, in all its manifestations reversed, will be found the tape and representative of verities priceless, eternal, and just at hand. So again she shows here, you see, that she does not just say that material beliefs in all its manifestation reversed are hinting to eternal verities, but she said, if we are instructed in spiritual things. Therefore, if within ourselves we are able to go along the first translation of immortal mind, if we are instructed in spiritual things, then we find out that all that is uncovered through this translation are counterfeits of spiritual realities. So we must not leave out that sentence which is usually left out, namely that if mortals are instructed in spiritual things, if we are instructed in spiritual things, we reverse really a false translation and say we go out from God and translate first properly and rightly. And then we see that the opposite, the counterfeit, is only a counterfeit of something that is of the nature of idea and is therefore of verity priceless. Therefore, she goes on in that same article, it's a small article, the education of the future will be instruction in spiritual science. Against the material symbolic counterfeit sciences. So here again she indicates, you see, the education of the future will be and must be in spiritual science, that mortals must be instructed in spiritual things, as she said before. If we are instructed in spiritual things and are instructed in reasoning along the line of the first translation of immortal mind, I go out from mind and see how mind manifests itself as infinite ideas, which, through the law of opposites, uncover the material beliefs, then we see that these opposites are actually only counterfeits of ideas. So, this shows, I would say, very clearly that we must start really where Mrs. Eddy started, always with that correction which goes out from principle, from God, and first translates from God correctly to the point of idea. Then, when the idea is manifest, by the law of opposite, it analyzes and covers the counterfeit, and in this way we can annihilate through the calculus of ideas, we can annihilate the belief. Then we have used the scientific method of practice and the scientific method of reversal, and not the metaphysical concept of reversal. Yeah? Got it? Yeah? Well, the implications are manifold. The implications are that we approach a problem completely different than the metaphysician does. How? And on the basis of what I have been explaining, really, John Dolley has distilled out of that whole position a method of practice which he has laid down and has shown us in his book on the Christian Science practice. Perhaps you know that book, and if you have read that book, I'm sure you were impressed by what he said, impressed by the wonderful healings he recounts. But I wonder if you were impressed by the main thing in that book, namely by the method. Whenever I come across students who just love that book on practice, you know, and then I ask them now, what is really the pith of that book? They have the faintest idea. The pith of that book is that he constantly explains, really, the method of practice, and only takes illustrations from his practice to show that method. So, in his book, he gives in various passages all over the book, again and again, he repeats it always with some other terms and a bit different language and so on, something very fundamental which he was teaching. And that what he was teaching was not metaphysical practice, was not to say you go out from phenomena of evil and then see what may be the idea, that is the fact about that phenomena, but that his method was completely different, namely that what we have just discussed in the chapter, in this question of reversal and rectification. How? In your study aid, on page 36, if you take that study aid, we have that method which I tried to crystallize out of his practice book. But it was that method that he gave us long ago before he gave us the practice book. That practice book was 1950, whereas when I went through class in the middle of the 30s, then he already was teaching us this method. So that method is not something that he only began to see in the later years, in the latter years, but something that he that distilled itself over his long years of practice. Here we have his method of treatment, and we go through it and reason out why that is the method that Mrs. Eddy really would support. He's always said as the very first point, point one, the practitioner begins his treatment by putting the whole problem, including all the suggestions, behind him. Can you see the difference between a metaphysical treatment? The metaphysical treatment, you look at the problem and say, how can I name that problem? How can I define that problem? And I define it according to physiological measures, define it as this and that disease, or I do it according to psychological insights or psychological measures and standards and begin to define it psychologically or in any way that is not science. That's not science. Can you see? Instead of looking at the problem, Mr. Dorey says, put it behind you. Don't draw any conclusion from the problem. Do you see the difference?